Today is the 14th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is great to be here with you today and every day as we gather and step forward in the scriptures and in our year that we spend each and every day, step by step, day by day, together. And what a joy and a privilege and an honor that it is for us to be here around the global campfire today. And let's take that next step forward. We have been, and are working our way through the book of 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Today, we will read chapters 16, verse 37, through 18, verse 17. Then David placed Asaph and his relatives, together with Obed-Edom and 68 of his relatives, to minister there continually before the chest containing the Lord's covenant, following the routines required on each day. Obed-Edom, Jeduthun's son, and Hosea served as gatekeepers. David also placed the priest Zadok and his other priestly relatives at the Lord's dwelling at the shrine in Gibeon. They were to offer continually, both morning and evening, entirely burned offerings to the Lord on the altar for entirely burned offerings, following the written requirements in the Lord's instruction, which he had given Israel. With them were Heman and Jeduthun, and the rest of those chosen by name to give thanks to the Lord, because his faithful love lasts forever. With them were also the trumpets and the cymbals for the musicians and the instruments for God's songs. Jeduthun's family was at the gate. Then all of the people left for their homes, and David returned to bless his household. When David was settled into his palace, he said to the prophet Nathan, "I'm living in a cedar palace, while the chest containing the Lord's covenant is under curtains." Nathan replied, "Go ahead and do whatever you are thinking, because God is with you." But that very night, God's word came to Nathan, "Go to my servant David and tell him, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build the temple for me to live in. In fact, I haven't lived in a temple from the day I brought Israel out until this very day. I've been traveling from tent to tent and from dwelling to dwelling. Throughout my traveling with the Israelites, did I ever ask one of Israel's tribal leaders, whom I appointed to shepherd my people, 'Why haven't you built me a cedar temple?' So then say this to my servant David, 'This is what the Lord of heavenly forces says. I myself took you from the pasture, from following the flock, to be leader over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone. I've eliminated all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great, like the name of the greatest people on earth. I'm going to provide a place for my people Israel and plant them so that they may live there and no longer be disturbed. Cruel people will no longer trouble them as they did earlier when I appointed judges over my people Israel. I'll subdue all your enemies and make you great. As for a dynasty, the Lord will build one for you. When the time comes for you to die, I will raise up a descendant of yours after you, one of your own sons to succeed you, and I will establish his kingship. He is the one who will build me a temple, and I will establish his throne forever. I will become his father, and he will become my son, and I'll never withdraw my faithful love from him as I did from the one before you. I'll install him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne will be established forever." Nathan faithfully reported all that he had seen and heard to David. Then King David went and sat in the Lord's presence. He asked, "Who am I, Lord God? And of what significance is my family that you have brought me this far? But even this was too small in your eyes, God. You have spoken about the future of your servant's dynasty and have chosen me as an important person, Lord God. What more can I say to you for honoring your servant? You yourself know your servant. Lord, for your servant's sake and according to your will, you have done this great thing in order to make all these great things known. Lord, no one can compare to you. No God except you, just as we have heard with our own ears. Who is like your people Israel, a unique nation on the earth, that God redeemed as his own people, establishing a name for yourself by doing great and awesome things, by driving out nations before your people, whom you saved from Egypt? You established your people Israel as your own people forever, and you, Lord, became their God. Now, Lord, confirm forever the promise you have made about your servant and his dynasty. Do as you have promised so that it may be established and so that your name may be made great forever when people say, "The Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel, is Israel's God." May your servant David's household be established before you. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a dynasty. That is why your servant has found the courage to pray this prayer to you. Lord, you are truly God, and you promised this good thing to your servant. So now, willingly bless your servant's dynasty so that it might continue forever before you. Because you, Lord God, have promised. Let your servant's dynasty be blessed forever by your blessing. Sometime later, David defeated the Philistines, subdued them, and took Gath and its villages from Philistine control. He also defeated Moab, enslaving them and requiring payment. David defeated Zobah as King Hadadezer at Hamath, as he continued to establish his control along the Euphrates River. David captured 1,000 chariots from him, 7,000 cavalry, and 20,000 foot soldiers. Then David cut the hamstrings of all but 100 of the chariot horses. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Zobah as King Hadadezer, David killed 22,000 of the Arameans. David stationed soldiers in Aram of Damascus, enslaved them, and required payment. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David took the gold shields carried by Hadadezer's servants and brought them to Jerusalem. From Tibbath and Kun, Hadadezer's cities, David took large amounts of bronze, with which Solomon made the bronze basin, the pillars, and the bronze equipment. When Hamath's king Tou heard that David had defeated the entire army of Zobah's king Hadadezer, he sent his son Hadoram to King David to wish him well and to congratulate him over his battle and defeat of Hadadezer, because Tou was an enemy of Hadadezer. Hadoram brought with him all kinds of gold, silver, and bronze objects. King David dedicated these to the Lord along with the silver and the gold he had taken from all these nations: Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, and Amalek. Abishai, Zeruiah's son, struck down 18,000 Edomites in the Salt Valley. He stationed soldiers in Edom, and all the Edomites became David's slaves. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. David ruled over all Israel and maintained justice and righteousness for all his people. Zeruiah's son Joab was in command of the army. Ahilud's son Jehoshaphat was recorder. Ahitub's son Zadok and Abiathar's son Ahimelech were priests. Shavshah was secretary. Jehoiada's son Benaiah was in command of the Keratites and the Pelatites. And David's sons were the king's chief personal advisors. Romans 2:1-24. So every single one of you who judge others is without any excuse. You condemn yourself when you judge another person, because the one who is judging is doing the same things. We know that God's judgment agrees with the truth, and his judgment is against those who do these kinds of things. If you judge those who do these kinds of things while you do the same things yourself, think about this. Do you believe that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you have contempt for the riches of God's generosity, tolerance, and patience? Don't you realize that God's kindness is supposed to lead you to change your heart and life? You are storing up wrath for yourself because of your stubbornness and your heart that refuses to change. God's just judgment will be revealed on the day of wrath. God will repay everyone based on their works. On the one hand, he will give eternal life to those who look for glory, honor, and immortality based on their patient good work. But on the other hand, there will be wrath and anger for those who obey wickedness instead of the truth, because they are acting out of selfishness and disobedience. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. But there will be glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does what is good, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. God does not have favorites. Those who have sinned outside the law will also die outside the law. And those who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. It isn't the ones who hear the law who are righteous in God's eyes. It is the ones who do what the law says who will be treated as righteous. Gentiles don't have the law. But when they instinctively do what the law requires, they are a law in themselves, though they don't have the law. They show the proof of the law written on their hearts, and their consciences affirm it. Their conflicting thoughts will accuse them, or even make a defense for them, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the hidden truth about human beings through Christ Jesus. But if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law, if you brag about your relationship to God, if you know the will of God, if you are taught by the law so that you can figure out the things that really matter, if you have persuaded yourself that you are a guide for the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an educator of the foolish, a teacher of infants, since you have the full context of knowledge and truth in the law, then why don't you who are teaching others teach yourself? If you preach no stealing, do you steal? If you say no adultery, do you commit adultery? If you hate idols, do you rob temples? If you brag about the law, do you shame God by breaking the law? As it is written, the name of God is discredited by the Gentiles because of you. Psalm 10, 16 through 18. The Lord rules forever and always. The nations will vanish from his land. Lord, you listen to the desires of those who suffer. You steady their hearts. You listen closely to them to establish justice for the orphan and the oppressed, so that people of the land will never again be terrified. Proverbs 19 8 and 9. Those who acquire good sense love themselves. Those who keep understanding find success. False witnesses won't go unpunished, and liars will perish. Okay, So we are a couple of days into our journey through the letter to the Romans, written by the Apostle Paul. And so we got through the introduction, and Paul began laying out this argument that God has revealed himself, and that everybody is without excuse. All you have to do is look around. Today, we got a little bit of a taste of Paul's general tone. He's very direct, but he's choosing to directly engage with a very serious problem among his people, a problem that is keeping them from seeing what God is doing among them. And the problem is hypocrisy. Paul said that basically that to condemn somebody else for the same questionable things that you are participating in isn't going anywhere. It's hypocrisy. Or quoting from the Apostle Paul, if you judge those who do these kinds of things while you do the same things yourself, think about this. Do you believe that you will escape God's judgment? But here's the thing that we need to get to know about Paul, because a lot of times people read Paul and feel like it's very shaming or condemning. That's not what Paul's objective is. His objective is to name something that is very destructive to the community as he moves through the process that's in this letter of revealing Jesus. But if we already think we know all there is to know about God, then there's nothing else to learn, so we think that we've got it all together. And Paul is stepping into this. Paul was a devout Jew, a very highly educated Pharisee. He was speaking to devout people of the Jewish faith, and he wasn't talking about things that he had only heard about or that he had heard rumors about. He was talking about things that he understood very clearly because he had practiced these things devoutly. And so he's calling out this hypocrisy because it blinds the people. And it's not like it's not still going on, right, friends? Like, it's not like we can't find hypocrisy in the world. And it's certainly not as if we can't find hypocrisy among our fellow brothers and sisters of the Christian faith. And it's not as if we can't find hypocrisy in our own lives. How many times have we found ourselves judging or condemning, whether with our words or actions, or whether we're just doing it in our minds, condemning and judging people for things that we've done? So, putting it back into Paul's words, if you have persuaded yourself that you are a guide for the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an educator of the foolish, a teacher of infants, then why don't you who are teaching others teach yourself? Right? If we're going to condemn stealing, then we shouldn't be a thief, even occasionally. Like, if we're going to condemn adultery, then we shouldn't be an adulterer, even occasionally. If we're going to condemn lying, then we shouldn't be a liar. Like, whatever, we shouldn't be doing what we're condemning. We're judging others for what we do, thereby proving that we know right from wrong. We know what is right and wrong, and we're judging it and participating in it in the dark. It's hypocrisy. And Paul is calling it out, and he's calling it out among people who know the scriptures and think that they, because they know the scriptures, they know God and they know everything God will and will not do. And Paul is building this argument that you might know the scriptures, but you are not obeying them. Or putting it back into Paul's words, if you brag about the law, do you shame God by breaking the law? As it is written, the name of God is discredited by the Gentiles because of you. And that's where we end our reading today, but that's where Paul was leading us to, talking to these devout Jews who judge others repeatedly for things that they themselves are participating in, which discredits the message, which discredits God. And Paul is very convinced at this point that God has invited he has invited everyone through faith in Jesus to become a part of God's family, Jew and Gentile alike. And Paul is telling his fellow Hebrews, you're discrediting God and causing the Gentiles to stay away from God by your hypocrisy. This should be convicting to us as we examine our own lives, because the same thing can happen. Our hypocrisy can turn people completely away from God by looking at our lives and going, well, if that's what we're talking about here, if that's what this is all about, I don't want anything to do with that. And in our culture right now, stereotyping is like just labeling things and giving them a label so that we can be against them and dismiss them is prevalent in our culture. And so much of this is rooted in our hypocrisy. Paul is in the first century speaking about the hypocrisy of the Jewish leaders and the fact that it pushes people away from God, but it's not really any different now. And Christians throughout our church history have been labeled and stereotyped and persecuted mercilessly, and it seems to be a lingering tension and fear in our faith that we're worried that that could happen again, and so we want to do everything that we can to make that not happen again. So we very easily build ourselves an enemy that we have to try to fight against and destroy, and we end up wandering into things that are not Christ-like. And yet it's pretty clear what Paul's laying out here is that there is something to do, and the thing to do is practice what you preach. And so may we consider that today. May we even catch ourselves today when our actions and our convictions are not in alignment, because that's a very tense place to live. That's a very hard place to be. We can normalize it and get used to things, but it's a tough place to be when what you truly believe and what you are actually doing are not in alignment with each other. So let's invite the Holy Spirit today to reveal these places where we cast judgment and shade on people for the very things that we ourselves have been guilty of doing. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. We know, like, we are all guilty. We all know what we're talking about here. The ways that we become false. For all kinds of different reasons, some insecurities in our stories, some circumstances that we are in, we put on the mask when freedom invites us to be true, that we might live in the truth and be an example of the way that life is supposed to be lived. So that when others look at us, they are not repelled by us away from you, but are drawn in. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. Lead us away from all that is false. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That is the website, and that is where you can find out what's happening around here. So check it out. Check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected. This is where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources in a number of categories in the shop for the journey that we are on. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Thank you humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is Rodney from Atlanta. I want to pray for the family of the young man, I think he was a nurse, who was riding his bike either to work or from work and was killed instantly by a motorist who did not even stop. I want to pray for the nurse team that has been affected by this and for the family. Father, I lift up the family of this young man who lost his life doing a good thing. Lord, we know that there's so much evil in the earth, but God, I even pray, Lord, for the motorists who didn't even have the courage to stop. I pray, God, you would convict his heart, that he will come forth in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, I thank, Lord, you are a God of justice, and you know where this young man is that caused this to happen and caused this other young man to lose his life. So, God, I pray, oh God, for the family. God, give them peace during this difficult time. Those loved ones, those friends who will be at his funeral service. God, I pray, Lord, even for the eulogist, that you will give him or her the courage and the strength and the anointing to say what needs to be said to this family. God, let your peace that surpasses all understanding be present for this family. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Thank God. Amen. God bless you.
Hey, Brian, it's Bart. I just wanted to thank you for today on the 11th. I always love it when you get to, I know you can't do it every day, but when you get to share an outlook of reading through this thing so many times and something new always pops up. And it struck me pretty hard when you were explaining the proverb today of how we blame God when things aren't going right. And looking into myself now, being far from perfect, a lot of times you can still look when things aren't going right for you, and you can still do that. But testimony, when Beloved and I were dating, I was in real bad shape. I lived on probation for about the first few years of our marriage, and probably the 10 years before that, I was constantly on probation. And I remember one night I was pretty upset, and she was trying to get me to you know, pray. And I looked at her square in the eye and I said, God has done nothing for me. Everything you see around me, I built myself. And it was blasphemous as hell. But she looked at me and she goes, you're exactly right. That's the reason you're in the shape you're in. How things change following God, how much better my life is. And I want to thank you for that, man. Thank you and God, you know. All right, love you, brother.
Hey, DAB, it's Valiant Val here in Vegas, family. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you acknowledging that life can be filled with struggle and challenges, God. Father, for those of us that are on the struggle bus, Lord, we ask for your divine presence right now, Father, to strengthen us, Lord. During difficult times, Father, we lean in and on you, Father. God, your word reminds us that you are close to the brokenhearted and that you save those that are crushed in spirit. So, Lord, we're clinging to your promises, Father God. We know that you are near, Lord. God, your word also says, do not fear, for you are with us. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God, we thank you for your righteous right hand, Lord. And we're leaning in and on you, Father. God, we thank you, Father. We ask for strength, Lord. Give us courage to face the struggles, Lord. Remind us that you are our constant support, God. We thank you, Father, in times of weakness and weariness, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you that your word says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Lord, we thank you that you are our source and that you are our rescuer. Lord, we surrender all of our struggles to you, God, knowing that you, Father, are greater than any challenge that we may face, Father. So help us, Lord, to continue to trust in you, to have faithfulness in you, to rely on you, Lord. We thank you for your unfailing love. God, we thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, DAB family. My name is, I'm David's girl. This is my first time ever calling. I started listening to DAB September of last year after attending a support group for grief share that someone introduced it to me. I lost my husband 3 years and 3 months ago to undiagnosed cancer. I was listening to Lori from South Carolina, who just lost her husband recently from complications of pancreatic issues. Lori, just want you to know this journey is not easy. Being a widow is very difficult. It's a day-by-day thing. Loneliness will take over. But, sweet girl, just hang on to Jesus. He has been my stronghold, my supporter, my strength on days when I just wanted to give up. All I had to do was just look up, and he's there. So you hang on to him, Lord. I just ask that you wrap your arms around her today and just give her the strength to face each and every day. In Jesus' name I pray.